Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Hard to believe it, but it is Wednesday. I've been thinking it's Tuesday all day for some reason, Bill. But it is the day that we talk to NPR's the host of Only a Game, Bill Littlefield, and he's with us now to talk sports. Hi there.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Magna.
Shall we start off talking about soccer a bit?
Sure.
Okay, so let's talk about the Revolution. They fired coach Jay Heaps. 5 games left in a not-so-great season. What's going on?
Well, you're being charitable when you say not-so-great. What's going on is Jay Heaps had a couple of quite impressive seasons in which they got a little better every year when he first started as the head coach of the Revolution, and that pattern has been reversed over the last few years. They have not been a playoff team. They're certainly not going to be a playoff team this year. And it's the same in all sports. You can't fire the team, so you fire the coach.
We've been down this road before.
And we'll be down that road lots and lots of times, as long as I keep coming in on Wednesday.
So I want everyone to know that our fantastic producer, Kathleen McNerney, worked on this segment today, and she likes numbers, so I'm going to have a ton of stats for you listeners.
Excellent.
The Revs haven't won in the last 17 games on the road?
No, they've been awful on the road. And I think also, you know, we talk about this as a pattern. They lost a game recently 7-0. And losing 7-0 in soccer is sort of like losing, I don't know, you know, 68-0 in football.
There should be a mercy rule when it gets up
there.
That
really
high.
Should be. And it's it happens from time to time. But of course, Mike Burns, the general manager, has said, no, this is not this decision is not the result of one loss or a couple of games, but it didn't help any.
But there was just 5 games left in the season. Why not wait it out?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they're hoping that, Tom Soane, who comes in to replace him, they'll win 5 in a row and they'll be the Joe Morgan of soccer. You know, he was supposed to be an interim manager for the Red Sox years ago, and they won so many games that he got a couple of years as the as the non-interim manager, and it was great fun.
Well, we've got some reaction here from a member of the Revolution, Chris Tierney, and he says, actually, you know what? It's the players that need to step up.
There's plenty for us to prove. Obviously, it hasn't been a good year, so we as players need to look at ourselves collectively in the mirror and all take into account what we can do better and improve on.
Yeah.
You want my absolutely selfish and utterly unsupportable theory about why the Revolution doesn't
win? I would take nothing less.
They play on a football field, and they're grandfathered in to be able to play on a football field as long as they want because they were one of the original MLS teams, and all the teams coming in much more recently, there's been a requirement that they have an actual soccer stadium to play in.
But I've seen the Rev play at Gillette, and it's great.
No, it's not, because it feels like they forgot to tell everybody that there's a game. I mean, even if you get 30,000 people in that building, it looks like it's empty.
Granted.
And the Revs are certainly not getting 30,000 people. They're getting closer to 19,000 people. So my theory, and as I say, it's completely unsupported by any evidence, and it's utterly selfish because I want Mr. Kraft to build a soccer stadium. My theory is they feel like second-class citizens playing in somebody else's house, and it's obviously it's the Patriots' home. It's a wonderful stadium, I suppose, for watching NFL games because that's how many people go to NFL games, but it's not a great place to watch a soccer game by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, to that point,
so it's not Jay Heap's fault.
Well, he wrote a nice little letter to the Kraft family saying
he's made his life in soccer, and he hopes, like all people who are soccer coaches or coaches in other sports who get fired, he hopes to find another job somewhere else.
Well, he said, my greatest regret is not getting you and your family what you deserve, an MLS championship. Mm-hmm. But Bill Littlefield added a coda to that saying, if you want one, build a soccer stadium.
Build a soccer stadium and they will win. Okay. That's my take on it.
Well, since we mentioned the Crafts, this is my chain of thinking, that takes us to football and concussions and head injuries. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, we spoke about a new study that was released from Boston University about what happens to the brains of people who played tackle football before they were 12 years old. And this isn't even with concussions. These are with subconcussive impacts. And the study found that those folks had greater odds, significantly greater odds, of developing behavioral challenges, emotional regulation challenges later in life. And we talked to Dr. Robert Stern, director of clinical research at Boston University's Chronic Traumatic Encephalopathy Center. He was one of the lead authors on the study, and here's what he said.
Now, correlation does not equal causation. Absolutely not. No matter what, it's really hard to prove causation. And so until we have definitive answers, there's a choice. We either err on the side of safety or we keep going.
And actually, Bill, more specifically, he told us he thinks now parents should have enough information to make the choice to not let their kids play tackle football.
Mm-hmm. And this is not a new thing to consider. Dr. Cantu said some time ago that it wasn't a good idea for kids to be playing tackle football at that age. Of course, there's been some counter arguments, particularly from Pop Warner spokesmen and people like that. And unhappily, the counter argument that I ran up against today was a little bit like the tobacco industry counter argument. You know, the old argument where, well, my grandmother smoked a pack of Camels every day and never got lung cancer. So the argument for the Pop Warner guys is, well, lots of people have played football as kids and gone on to be doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. And yeah, it's true. And it doesn't in any way refute the results of this study, which says it's really better for you not to get your brain bouncing around in your skull when you're a child.
Mm. Well, I mean, they also did, Pop Warner did take issue with the what they called selection bias in the study because it wasn't done face-to-face and perhaps not a 100% representative sample. But really what I want to know, Bill, what your thoughts are on, because I talked to Shira Springer about this yesterday. Like, is youth football kind of on a precipice here? We've got, what, 1.2 million young people playing youth football. But how many more studies like this can it take before tackle football loses enough kids that it's not the cultural force that it is today?
I think it's a great question, and I wish I had an answer. I think it's probably the case that you'd get a different answer in different parts of the country. In some parts of the country, football is so powerfully ingrained into the culture that it's assumed that young kids, as soon as they are able to strap on a helmet, will play football. And in other parts of the country, parents are more inclined to say, well, my kid has lots of other options. He could play any number of different sports, and I wouldn't feel any compulsion to point him toward one or another.
Yeah. Well, Bill, we've got 30 seconds left, and I just want to ask you one last thing. Let's turn to baseball for a second. Kansas City Royals' Alex Gordon hit the 9,760,437,000th home run the other night. What's the deal?
Well, they've been talking about this since early this season when the home run totals were obviously peaking. And this is what the Guardian had to say about it a while back. Maybe the balls are juiced. Maybe the players are. Maybe no one cares about any of it. The next baseball game you watch will probably have a home run or two or five. Feel free to just enjoy it. And the pitchers say the ball is juiced. Major League Baseball says it isn't. I haven't seen any definitive proof one way or the other. So I guess we enjoy it. Enjoy the dingers.
Bill Littlefield, thanks as always.
Thank you, man.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.